Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You need veto power. You really do. A manager should be open to good ideas no matter where they come from. And we've been watching baseball long enough to where nobody here is about to make an argument against math. But where math betrays you is in the small sample size of the postseason. Math only matters over the grand scheme of things. You are way outside the purview of the grand scheme of things in the sixth inning of a sixth game of a World Series. At that point, you got to feel what's happening more than you got to lean on anyone else's analytics or equations. He would have been better off feeling the baseball game. And I can only tell you, fellas, that the reason why Bruce Bochy is a Hall of Famer is that he could have had Albert Einstein shouting probabilities and failures of success a third time through a lineup and all the math in the world in his ear. And there is no way in the world Bruce Bochy takes Blake Snell out of that baseball game at 73 pitches, having struck out 9 of the 18 hitters. I mean, if you weren't watching the game and you're only listening today to the aftermath of it all, you've never seen a World Series pitcher as on cruise control as Blake Snell was. It could not have been going better. He only allowed one hard hit ball, and they measure this. That's not an opinion anymore. That is a baseball measurement. He has only allowed one hard hit ball all damn night, and they go and get him because of about a two hundredths of a percent difference in his batting average allowed first time through the lineup, third time through the lineup, and what the bullpen's first time through the lineup was. I mean, I got the numbers here. We'll pull them up a little later.
But they also brought in a guy. Yeah, they brought in a guy who Mookie Betts hits better against right-handers. So you bring in a right-hander, which he prefers. You also bring in a guy who's been giving up runs in several consecutive appearances. I forget the number. Is it 5 or 6 straight appearances?
He'd
given up a run. Yeah, so of all the decisions, if it is such a high leverage moment that you must remove the starter who has been brilliant all day long after only 71 pitches, why not? Why are you not going to a more like a reliever that you should have more faith in at that point?
And here's the thing: Nick Anderson is awesome. Nick Anderson,
yes,
is
great
only,
year.
He only allowed one inherited run to come around all regular season. He has gotten hit hard, though, in the postseason. Again, throw away your regular season numbers when you start playing postseason baseball. And that's something that the Rays couldn't do last night. And look, I remember earlier in this week, we're saying that once you get to the dance, don't stop being who you are. Like, whoever you are got you there. You should try to be who you are in this moment as well. But who you are is also have to there has to be something about starting pitching and the value of a starting pitcher who is just mowing them down, walked none, struck out 9 of 18, cruise control, no worry about a pitch count at all, just on fire, and he's got to go. Unbelievable.
Well, there are two things going on here. One, the number that I saw was that the third time through the order, historically, Snell's ERA like spikes up to like almost 13. That doesn't have anything to do with last night, though. And the choice of Nick Anderson, I think, is in large part because, and this is another bit of overthink, is that Aaron Loop had pitched in games 4 and 5, and he's their best left-hander. I think I might have taken my chances with Loop there anyway. But the other thing was, and I mentioned this last week, is that there were people on MLB radio who were saying that Nick Anderson does not look like the same guy. And I think when you brought up Bruce Bochy, that's one of the things that Bochy would have reacted to. And he would have pitched guys in that situation kind of out of order. But the reason why he would have the freedom to do that is because he had 15 years of establishing himself as a top flight manager in a non-analytic era, which Kevin Cash has never had. And while I think if were I Cash, I'd say, I'm going to leave him in there. And if you want to walk down here and fire me right now, go ahead. But I think there is a point at which you either have to trust your pitcher's heart or, you take your chances with anybody else but Nick Anderson.
We're
the mistakes were two.
Sorry, Ray. I didn't mean to step on you there, but we're criticizing Kevin Cash so much. I figured we'd let him explain in his own words the decision to pull Snell last night, and then Matt will come back. You'll have the last word. We'll take a quick break, but we got so much to get into today. Here is Kevin Cash.
The only motive was that the lineup the Dodgers features as potent as any team in the league. Personally, I felt Blake had done his job and then some. Mookie coming around for the third time through. I value that. I totally respect and understand the questions that come with it. Blake gave us every opportunity to win. He was outstanding. They're not easy decisions. And that's where I came to the decision. I felt it was best after the guy got on base. Barnes hit the single. Didn't want Mookie or Seager seeing Blake a third time.
It's just, I mean, Ray's right. That's the way they're doing it now. But I think the notion, and this is not an insult to Blake Snell, because I'm sure he agrees with me, the notion that you have done your job and then some when you've pitched 5 1/3 innings of a potential lose and you're out World Series game. I mean, you can't help but think of Madison Bumgarner and how if Kevin Cash came out to take Madison Bumgarner out of that game, they would have a physical fight on the mound.
It was a stunning development in a game that was really a great baseball game right up until that point. And then, hey, if you're a Dodgers fan, you are thrilled with it. You are absolutely thrilled with the game the way that game ended. And look, Dodgers fans, I don't know how many of you we got in our audience. I know it's not a ton. But I really mean it. Congratulations. A hell of a year by a juggernaut team who's been knocking on the door so long. They finally get in. But it's almost fitting that in a weirdest year ever, we're talking more about how the other team lost it and how the celebration didn't go right. And we're going to talk about that when we come on back. We've got Charlie Steiner, the play-by-play voice of the Los Angeles Dodgers, coming up at 3 o'clock today. Ian Williams talking a little 49ers football. Brandon Ayuk, the rookie wide receiver, is joining us at 4:45. And we're really looking forward to all of that. We're brought to you by Safeway. Today, save the pick four or more. Yeah, baby, it's the mix and match. Cape Cod or kettle chips, just $1.88 each. General Mills cereal, 13.8 ounces for $1.49. Starbucks K-Cups, 10-count or 12-ounce bags, $5.99 each. Dreyer's 1.5-quart ice cream, just $2.88 each. Go eat well. Do it at Safeway. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, 95.7 The Game.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. It is really good to have you here. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on a day the Dodgers are World Series champions for the first time since 1988. Okay. No problems. Except for the whole on-field celebration afterwards, which an awful lot of people, and when I say an awful lot of people, I mean everyone in sports is talking about. what Justin Turner did. We'll get back to the decision to pull the pitcher in just a minute. We have Blake Snell himself saying that he wanted the ball. I know we got some spitting hot fire from CC Sabathia about leaving a starter in. He might know a thing or two about that. We've got Charlie Steiner joining us at 3 o'clock today. He is the play-by-play voice of the Dodgers, and an awful lot to ask him about. But, Ray, Matt, I mean, COVID-19 is in the news. It's omnipresent. It's all around us. You can't get through a single segment of life. Not a cooking segment on Good Morning America doesn't bring it up in some way. Every single story in sports seems to have a connection to it. Obviously, the World Series. You're looking at what's going on at Wisconsin. You're looking at what's going on with the Houston Texans. You've got schools, programs, canceling games, shutting down facilities. It's all the rage, if you will, in 2020. And Jeff Passan, he's a lot better at writing than all three of us are at talking. And he really nailed it when he said, sports is always and will be a metaphor for society. In the oddest of years, there was perhaps no more telling snapshot of the United States in 2020 than a COVID-19 positive man sitting on the ground maskless next to a cancer survivor, maskless as well, with indelible grins spread across their faces. Justin Turner was asked to isolate. He did not abide. He strode onto the field where his teammates were celebrating and joined. He removed his mask to pose for pictures with his wife. He planted himself on the ground as the team gathered for a photo to commemorate their first championship in 32 years. To his right, David Roberts, who was a Hodgkin's lymphoma survivor from 10 years ago, which puts him in a pre-existing condition category for sure. And, you know, this is a player who got removed from a World Series game. The testing protocol that allowed him to play in the game is being questioned. What might have been if there had been a Game 7 necessary is a question that is going to be asked of Rob Manfred, I'm sure, several times before we see our next baseball game. What a crazy punctuation to one of the weirdest baseball seasons of all time.
How did it get in the bubble?
Well, I mean, do you honestly have a bubble if you're letting in, what, 15,000 fans a night? You know, I mean, I don't know. Who knows? You know, what's really funny is I don't have a problem with him wanting to be around his teammates or his teammates feeling comfortable with him around, because you figure they've been breathing all over each other for, you know, weeks upon weeks after week. Like, whatever Justin has, we might have it by now anyways, and it's the World Series, and we're just it's the families, it's the other people that are out there being exposed to it. The players, they know what they signed up for.
And at least wear a mask. Like, I mean, for God's sakes, at least keep your mask on. You know you have it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to imagine there won't be some level of outbreak from that, right?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. It's that I don't know that baseball gave that much of a damn. Because there's no way, if they want to keep him off the field after the game, that they can't do it. You know, this idea that he insisted that he be out there. So what? Secondly, the explanation from Andrew Friedman, the president of baseball operations, well, you know, he's going to be a free agent and all. And really, his contract status now weighs into this too? They didn't have a good reason to allow him onto the field at all. And yet they let it go because they didn't really care at that point. They got their game in, which was all they were really after. And, you know, they've been doing this by the seat of their pants since day one. So basically what happens is he says, I'm going out there. And MLB security, which was telling him not to go, says, well, okay, I guess you have more say-so than we do. Go right ahead. And then he just flouted it. He just basically said, I'm taking the mask off now because I want to. And I don't care what the protocols say. I don't care what my medical condition is. I want to. And I dare you to try to stop me. I mean, it was an appalling performance all the way around by the player, the team, and the industry.
I mean, I really just can't believe that at no point someone at least went up to him and was like, hold on, it's not like you were exposed. We know you are positive. Now, you may be asymptomatic, but you can transmit this. You can't be out here right now. It's pretty stupefying to me. I think this is a level of recklessness I did not expect, but maybe I should have.
I think if it were another player, it would have been an easier sell for whoever had to sell that, because Justin Turner is Mr. Spitfire. I mean, it's not Mookie Betts. It's not Clayton Kershaw. It's not the World Series MVP, Corey Seager. It's not Kenley Jansen. It's not Dave Roberts, who sets the tone for that clubhouse. It's this guy. He is the Dodgers' spirit animal, along with starting third baseman. And I'm not excusing it. I'm not. But I just think it's, you know, sometimes you got to consider the messenger. Well, sometimes you got to consider the receiver of the message. And look, a lot of guys in baseball are 1,000,000% Trump voting meatheads who probably haven't been given an information or a credible source of information that they deemed worthy of paying attention to, because there's so much misinformation if you spend more time in one echo chamber than the other. And, you know, say, well, Damon, you're just saying, but both are echo chambers, but at least one of the echo chambers has scientists making the noise. We have just opinions in the other. And I don't, I'm not trying to say that that has anything to do with it, but the mentality of I don't care, I had it, I have it, but here I am anyways, is something that is being broadcast and used as a wedge issue in an election that is in 6 days.
Did all his teammates know he was sick?
That's a great question. Do they get an explanation why he gets pulled from the game in the eighth inning?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, I don't know. By the way, he made the final out of the fateful sixth inning. Why was he given two more innings in the field? Did they not know then? When did they know? When did the information get into the dugout? It's just kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, the first positive test was apparently the day before. So I don't know what level of repeated positive tests it took to get them to pull him in the middle of a game as opposed to not let him start. Like, none of it makes sense. It's clearly reckless on the part of a number of different people. And I, at the end of the day, I just really, politics aside, like, if you know you have tested positive repeatedly and definitely are positive, like, to go out and expose everyone and their family is so individually, personally reckless to me. I can't wrap my head around it.
It's one thing to be COVID casual theoretically. It's another thing entirely when you know, ding, 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 you're it.
Yeah, the whole thing is, it smacks of everything that sports has been accused of since about May, which is, they didn't care about anything other than getting the games on. The one truly shining light since the virus hit was the trainer of the Utah Jazz running out to the officials the night that game got shut down and said, "We got a guy who's got it. You can't play this game." And that was the end of it. There was no game at that point. That was the one crowning moment of sports' performance in all of this. It was the one time when the health concern was the only matter. This was the absolute opposite of that. It was, well, we know something's wrong with this guy, but we need him in the lineup. He's going to be in the lineup, and then we're going to say, oh, by the way, you can't play anymore. But hang around for a couple of innings, because if we win this, we want you to mug, you know, all your teammates and family members, and just become a potential super spreader. It's staggering in its impact. And it's now the third time in 4 years that winning the World Series does not come without an attachment of shame and disgrace.
God, I haven't even really thought of that. And at least all that stuff was just baseball and hurt feelings over cheating. This is actually endangering other people and their loved ones, and that's science, not an opinion. Now, what level of danger? Absolutely worthy of, you know, grading out who is what. How about this? Justin Turner's a young man. We know mathematically young men are doing very well with this. Young men who are professional athletes are doing incredibly well with this. I'm sure that the young women who are married to and dating the young professional athletes are also pretty much in the same damn boat, too. You know, not a single professional athlete in the world has died because of COVID-19. Not one. Not one. I mean, that's, you know, when your active mortality rate is 0000 all the way to zero. It's something that people are designed at that age when you feel invincible. How about this? Every athlete feels invincible, and on the night they win a title, they probably feel extra invincible. Like, I'm just trying to wrap my mind around what Justin Turner was or wasn't thinking. He probably wasn't thinking more than he was thinking. We all agree to that. But I guess in a weird way, I get the selfish nature and the, hey, I've been around every single one of these people, breathing all over them, haven't been where, I mean, like, come on, it's been 3 months we've been in the same room together. So what's another photo? What's five more minutes? I could see how he would do that math in his head. By the way, baseball players aren't very good at math. We know that GMs are, and we'll get back to that in a second. Baseball's response to the entire thing. They issued a statement here, Ray and Matt, and I want to read it to you, and then let's talk about baseball's response. Quote, immediately upon receiving notice from the laboratory of a positive test, protocols were triggered, leading to the removal of Justin Turner from last night's game. Turner was placed into isolation for the safety of those around him. However, following the Dodgers' victory, it is clear that Turner chose to disregard the agreed-upon joint protocols and the instructions he was giving regarding safety and protection of others. While a desire to celebrate is understandable, Turner's decision to leave isolation and enter the field was wrong and put everyone he came into contact with at risk. When MLB security raised the matter of being on the field with Turner, he emphatically refused to comply. The commissioner's office is beginning a full investigation into the matter and will consult with the Players Association within parameters of the Joint 2020 Operations Manual. Last night, nasal swabs were conducted on the Dodgers traveling party. Both the Rays and Dodgers were tested again today in their traveling party as they head back to their home cities. And it will be determined. They're going to be careful now is basically how it all wraps up. But what do you think of that? I mean, baseball, you can say they. Here's the thing, Ray, you want to say shame on you, baseball. Okay, you can say shame on you, baseball, but it's obvious that baseball isn't happy, tried to follow the protocols, and, you know, you can't stop a rogue gunman. You can't. And that's basically what Justin Turner was. He went full-on rogue, I'm not here for your rules, and that's a hard guy to stop unless you're actually tackling World Series champions to the ground, which, again, is a big ask of somebody making minimum wage working security.
But it wasn't just some guy in a yellow jacket. It was Major League Baseball security, and they absolutely could have done that. And the fact is he probably should have been ushered from the stadium when they pulled him from the game because he's going to be in contact with people. You know, you isolate guys with the virus. Major League Baseball is absolutely responsible for this. The Dodgers are responsible for this, and he is absolutely responsible for his own behavior. All across the board, they all ignored the protocols because it wasn't important to them at the time. I mean, the idea that somehow, you know, this is just a rogue act. No, it's only a rogue act when everybody else lets it happen. And they all let it happen. Because at that point, the Dodgers got what they wanted. Major League Baseball got what it wanted. So they weren't worried about whether Justin Turner got what he wanted or what he should have gotten, which was a ride back to the hotel.
Right.
Because that's what should have happened.
He should have left the ballpark immediately. You're right about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, baseball doesn't get off the hook on this. And they're trying to pin it solely on Turner as though he is some sort of Voltron who can destroy all living beings in his path in his attempt to get back on the field. They stood aside and they let him go. And it was their responsibility to keep him off. Just as it was his responsibility not to try to go on. But if Major League Baseball had done the proper thing, and if the Dodgers had done the proper thing, he wouldn't have been in the ballpark at all. So they're all responsible, and they're all negligent. And the statement today from Major League Baseball is trying to pass this off as the rogue gunman. And no, you just turn him not
thing.
A rogue gunman. He's part of a bigger failure, which is that nobody cared about it once the show was over.
Here's the thing. Like, imagine for a second, if you will, that someone proportion. In fact, let's just say it is Chris Hemsworth, okay, who has been in
Thor?
The news lately.
Yeah, Thor.
Yes.
Okay, Thor. Okay.
Thor has he's been in the news lately because he's COVID positive.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, he. I'm making this up.
Oh, okay.
But let's pretend he has. Okay.
Okay.
And he comes running down that hallway, wanting to run out on the field with the players' families. Does Major League Security let him out there? Does Thor get on the field? I mean, not, friends.
Probably not. But what if the other people celebrating were the four other Avengers?
It doesn't matter. Well, no. I mean, maybe the same thing happens because that's why it's their fault. The notion that they couldn't stop him is absurd. Like, of course they could have stopped him. They chose not to stop him because he. What was the word they used? Emphatically.
Emphatically. Existed. He emphatically refused to comply, Matt.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's not stopping someone. That's letting them go. And that, to me, is, I agree with Ray. They have to take some responsibility for this. And again, hopefully this is nothing. And at worst, hopefully, this is a few players getting sick and they knew the risks, whatever. But, like, if more than that turn up sick from these tests, if parts of the traveling party, you can't convince me everyone on both of those planes is going to go home and isolate entirely without any possibility of spreading this virus immediately, regardless of what happens with the tests. So, I mean, this has the potential to be just part of a huge second wave or something. And that, to me, is very disconcerting.
Yeah, it's extraordinary how many people, you know, had something to do with this decision and how many innocent people, the other players, coaches and the manager. Well, I don't know when Dave Roberts knew. So let's put that aside as part of the managers don't get to know the things they used to know thing.
But
the
like
players, I don't think knew
members.
Until they were told. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, who knows whose family members have pre-existing conditions? You know, like that's just
exactly.
The sort of thing that's so reckless.
This was literally an entire industry saying, we got what we wanted. We're done. Our responsibilities are over. And the only reason why this turned out to be a thing at all was because they all stood aside and let Justin Turner be, to use your metaphor, Thor. He's not Thor. He's a 35-year-old ginger. Now, he might be a tough guy, and he might be able to shove a couple of people over, but then you keep sending you bring as many security people as necessary. And, again, we'll go back to the start of this. He shouldn't have been in the ballpark, period. And and baseball, just they told you what they thought of the virus. They told you what they thought of their own protocols. They told you what they thought about all of it was the show went on. We're fine. And if Tampa Bay had come back and won the game, then they'd have concocted some news story that nobody should believe. I mean, they're a disgrace. They've shamed their own biggest event for the third time in 4 years. How much more can baseball shoot itself in the foot until there's no foot left to shoot?
That's where I want to wrap this up in this segment. We got Charlie Steiner coming up at 3 o'clock as well. What would have happened if there had been a game 7? I mean, you're right. It felt like protocols and responsibility and being careful was, you know, everyone said forget about it because the show's over. We're done. We've crossed the finish line. Therefore, party, everyone. Have a good time. What if Justin Turner had infected teammates? Let's say Corey Seager. You know, he plays closest to him on the field. Suppose he's got Corey Seager infected. if neither guy could go in a game seven, would they have postponed game seven, or would they said, hey, that's why you're carrying a big practice squad and bring them up? I mean, what would that have been? What would game seven have looked like?
Game seven would have looked like, Edwin Rios at shortstop or at third base and Kike Hernandez at shortstop. And if other guys went down, then it looks like Tampa Bay wins the World Series. You know, but they were going to get the game off. They weren't postponing anything. I mean, everything we've seen about sports, this entire the length of this virus is get the games in, get the games in. And we kept asking, who's the person who's going to stop this if there's a flare up?
But nothing.
And we found out the answer every time is the same one, which is nobody.
But nothing would have been as brazen, Ray, as, hi, this guy tested positive on Tuesday, but he's playing on Wednesday. You know, that would have been a step further down the road of negligence than anyone has gone. And I don't know if baseball would have done that.
Hold on. Let's just talk about the circumstances that did happen, right? Allegedly, there's a positive test on Monday, right? Then there's some other additional test that they get that comes in right around the fifth inning? Is that what I'm supposed to believe? That's the story? Because if that's true, you know when the game starts, you couldn't have taken the test 2 hours earlier? Like, what is happening? I don't understand how any of this happened, but I do think just letting him back on, knowing he was positive enough to take him out of the game, but not positive enough to take him out of the stadium or separate him from all the people and families celebrating. It's insane.
Jeff Passan has a little bit more on the details. Hold on, Ray. We'll keep that. Sit on that. We'll get right back to it. Because Jeff Passan shared some details about the testing protocol and the sample getting shipped to Utah, not getting back in time and all that stuff. We'll get into that. Ray, what you had to say, spicy stuff from CC Sabathia, long live the starter, and Charlie Steiner coming up at 3 o'clock this afternoon here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky, brought to you by Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises. It's time for the Exergen temperature check. It is, let's check it out in Napa. It is 81 and sunny in beautiful Napa.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Well, thanks so much for tuning in this Wednesday afternoon. We've got Charlie Steiner, play-by-play voice of the Los Angeles Dodgers, joining us at the top of the hour to talk about their first championship since 1988. Man, 32 years. So it's a long time. Unless, of course, you talk to a Cub fan who had to wait a little bit longer than that. It's been amazing, though. Some real long baseball droughts have been broken in the last decade plus. I mean, the Red Sox, the Cubs, obviously the most extreme examples. The Giants, we all know. And here are the Dodgers now.
Don't forget the White Sox.
Thank you, Ray.
I was going to get there. I was going to get there because I was going to bring them up as already a team that people are talking about for next year. And we'll see who you end up hiring. You know, it's going to be a big hire. If you do hire a manager who knows to leave a red-hot cooking starter in a World Series game, you will, I think, be ahead of the curve. Because if baseball really has acquiesced to the equations need only apply, it's going to lose some of its soul. Some would say it already has. I know we've talked an awful lot about the three outcomes and how disappointing all that is and how kind of boring it is at times. Baseball needs a little bit more soul, and starting pitchers being let. Here's the thing. The fact that a starting pitcher who is cruising to ask he just be left in a game with zero pitch load on his arm, we're talking 73 pitches. He's struck out 9 of the 18 hitters that he's faced. He is in the middle of a World Series masterpiece. And because of this simple number right here, Snell, the third plate appearance in a game, is allowing a .329 on base, while the first guy out of the bullpen is allowing .297. We're not even talking about like a 40-point difference. Like it's like a 30-point difference. It's nothing. It's not much. It really isn't. The difference is negligible. You know, the slugging percentage that Snell gives up third time through the lineup is .413. The slugging percentage that the Rays bullpen gives up first time out there is .374. Is that much? We're going to go from .413 to .374 because it's a better number. But what about the guy who's out there right now and he's only allowed one hard hit? Every single analytic that led the Tampa Bay Rays away from Snell should have led them back to Snell and then should not have led them to Nick Anderson, because apparently the Tampa Bay Rays aren't looking at postseason stats. And Anderson had a hell of a regular season. His postseason had not been going well. And so it's really odd that you would lean on all these numbers are absolute sacrosanct over here, but we're going to ignore the real-time data that we're getting in the most recent collections of data in postseason pressure, which we all know is a little different than regular season pressure. Just ask Clayton Kershaw. You know, I mean, like, it's nuts that you can choose to ignore it over here, but embrace it over there.
Well, I mean, the bullpen thing is interesting because they got caught with not enough left-handers that they could trust. They had four left-handers in the bullpen, but only one, Aaron Loop, had been relatively consistent throughout the series and throughout the postseason. And yet they had used him in each of the last 2 days, and I think they were trying to stay away from him. And you could judge whether that's a good idea or not. But when Anderson blew up, and it didn't take long, Loop is up, and all of a sudden he's warming up like he's on fire. But the Snell thing is more pernicious because it's an industry-wide movement that the analytics are better than trusting your gut. They are taking as much of managerial judgment away from the manager, and they are basically turning it into sort of this rolling spreadsheet that says, don't trust your eyes, trust the paper. And so, you know, if it's going to be like that, then put the general manager in the monkey suit. Let him be the manager. Then he can sit there and operate with three laptops in front of him on three different trade tables, and you can turn it into Strat-O-Matic baseball if you want. Blake Snell is just the latest victim of something that's been going on in baseball for a while, which is the idea that six innings is stretching a guy. And as long as that's the case, there are going to be more Blake Snells. They just won't be in as many conspicuous spots as last night's. It was clearly a mistake, and I think if Cash felt confident enough in his job security or his sort of, you know, place in the organization, he might have said, you know what, fire me tomorrow, but I'm doing this today. Because after that, you know, he stuck with not enough left-handers against a lineup that loves to hit right-handed pitching and against a team that loves fastballs with a bullpen full of brain-dead fastball-throwing, you know, just automatons. I mean, the only thing that was interesting about the Rays bullpen, other than that there were a lot of them, is that they had different arm angles, as though all of a sudden that's something that a professional hitter can't solve. And they sort of lost their nerve at the last minute because they didn't have enough left-handers and because they didn't trust the best pitcher they had. And that's a statement about the way the organization is run, not the way necessarily that baseball is played.
There's two things I want to say about this. One is the irony, and I know you're not missing this, Ray, but the irony of the Rays with Blake Snell on the mound pitching great, 71 pitches into what could have been an all-time World Series start for all we know. They're going, where can we find a good left-hander? Like, what? How is that happening? He's right. He's already on the mound.
There.
You don't have to wait. Here, let me help you find a good left-hander. Sit the hell down. You know, like, I don't get it. But the other thing here is, and you kind of made this point earlier, Damon, math is great. It really is, and we all understand why in baseball in particular it makes sense, and generally you play the odds. But here's the thing. As you manage that way over the course of a regular season, you play something like 75% odds 100% of the time, knowing 25% of the time this isn't going to work out. But you're okay with that because trying to be too precious and not play it all the time could end up making you worse. But that doesn't mean in a situation where you're clear, first of all, you can't lose. And second of all, you're clearly heading into that 25%. Like anyone watching the game could tell you, if you go take this guy out, it's the wrong side of the math. Like it's obvious. You have to be able to avoid that in those situations. You just have to.
Every good poker player understands the cards in their hand, the cards that are on the table, and does the best that they can to assume what the other cards are around them. Every poker player, all the great ones, are going through a level of mathematical equations and probabilities in their head that truly separate professional poker players from video poker players. And then the great ones can pick up your tell. The great ones aren't just looking at the odds, they're also watching you. And that is where baseball has really lost its way. I'm going to tell you right now, a metric that should be considered for any and all World Series pitching changes is simply this. If the other manager in the other dugout is beaming ear to ear, jumping up and down and clapping like a toddler because of your pitching change, you probably shouldn't do it. Now, Dave Roberts was playing it just a scotch cooler than that last night. But when the other team, 100%, if you went to every single man in the dugout saying he can stay in or get pulled, if every single guy is saying pull him, you shouldn't pull him. You should not pull him. You walked right in to the Dodgers' number one wish of the evening. Somebody please get this guy out of here. We can't. Only his manager can. We can't even hit him hard. One hard hit ball the entire night. He had struck out 9 of 18 hitters. 0 walks. He was not in jeopardy. The runner that reached on him when Barnes singles to center, there was not a ringing, oh my God, he's in trouble. There was no warning track power on display. No one was hitting a thing. He was pitching a masterpiece. And you were way off when you said 71. He was all the way up to 73. And we all know that the human arm falls off at 74. So it's really, it's something else. CC Sabathia was on with Richard Sherman, Bill Simmons. CC Sabathia and Richard Sherman. I bet you they get along great. There's no doubt in my mind. This is CC Sabathia talking about Kevin Cash pulling Snell last night with Bill Simmons.
When you're on the field, when you're in the dugout, I mean, for me, like watching as a starter, I mean, you can feel that. I mean, yeah, you know, like we know that this guy's our best option. If you think that that's such a big situation, you're going to take him out at this point. Don't bring in the middle reliever that's been getting killed. Bring in your guy. If this is your spot and you're taking him out, then bring in the guy. Like whoever that is at the back end of that bullpen needs to be in that spot right there to shut it down. If that's how you feel, if this is like one of those big momentum shifting innings or that single was going to get the Dodgers started. The top of the order, I think, was like 0-for-8.
They're
like
0-for-6.
6-7
yeah.
Ks. I mean, it was so like, what are we doing? Bring in your closer or Fairbanks at that point. You know, it just didn't make sense.
We have seen this in recent postseason, in successful postseasons. You don't save your closer for the ninth inning. You use your closer in the highest leverage moment of the postseason game. Again, this is not what you do in the regular season because we don't have too many, don't worry about today. We'll get them tomorrow, kids. There doesn't exist many games like that in the postseason. And that is what CC is talking about. It is what he is talking about. Just trust what you see. And one more here. This is Sabathia saying that Kevin Cash bailed the Dodgers out more than anyone in the Dodgers lineup.
Yeah, you've done nothing. You know this guy's in control. And you know he's capable of, you know, kind of shutting you down all night. I mean, this is not like, you know, some rookie. This is Blake Snell. This guy's got a Cy Young on his in his trophy case. You know what I'm saying? So when he's dealing like that, you start feeling bad. And then as soon as they make a mistake and take him out and then Mookie hits a double, it's over. Might as well give us the trophy. You know what I'm saying? That's how, I mean, that's how I would have felt if I was in the Dodgers dugout.
Might as well give us the trophy. That's
and the flip side of that is what must the Tampa Bay Rays dugout feel? And that's why, yeah, look, they only scored one run. Probably would have been tough to win anyway, no matter whether Blake Snell pitches the rest of the game or not. But who knows how that changes the mood? And, like, that's where I just don't think there's got to be an emotional effect on what transpires on the field. And I'm not saying it's absolutely the difference. They would have scored five runs if Blake Snell had kept pitching. But, like, I guarantee as excited as the Dodgers dugout felt, the Rays dugout felt the opposite.
The other thing is that, you know, one of the things that the Rays did by using the bullpen the way they have all year is that you run into situations where your bullpen's gassed. They don't really have a closer, but to the extent that they do have it, it's Diego Castillo. And he had pitched in Game 5 and Game 4. And usually you don't want to use guys that much in three straight games. So now all of a sudden you've got all these conflicting theories about how to handle a bullpen. And one of the reasons, and I know we go back to Bruce Bochy every time there's a bullpen conversation, but one of the things that made him the handler of bullpens and relievers is that he could hold a guy back for a day, even in a World Series. One of the reasons why Madison Bumgarner pitched five innings in Game 7 was above and beyond the fact that Madison Bumgarner was the only guy who could do it. The rest of that bullpen was gassed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Bochy, rather than sit in the orthodoxy of the way that he's done it all year long, goes out of the box. And if they lose that game because Bumgarner can't pitch five shutout innings, then at least he goes home feeling lousy about himself, but knowing he gave himself the best chance to win. What Kevin Cash failed to do was give himself and his team the best chance to win twice. Once because the numbers told him Blake Snell has to come out, even if he doesn't have to come out, because everybody above him in the organization is screaming he has to come out. And then having a bullpen that's been so taxed that you have to avoid the left-hander you want to bring, and you bring in the guy who's been struggling all series long, because that's what he was the guy you relied on during the regular season. He was their closer. Problem was his gauge was on E, and when his gauge is on E, you don't have another place to go.
It's officially time to check in on Charlie Steiner, whose gauge has got to be all the way full of just Dodger happiness this morning. Welcome, everybody, to your 3 o'clock hour.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Charlie Steiner is currently the radio play-by-play voice of the Los Angeles Dodgers. He was nice enough to join us when the playoffs were getting underway. And a few weeks later, what do you know, World Series champions. Charlie Steiner, thank you very much for joining us on Damon Ratto and Kolsky, courtesy of the Bay Area Chevy Dealers guest line. How are you, sir?
You know, if I only drove a Chevy, I would really be all right.
Thank you. But he knows.
That's terrific.
Take care of the sponsors, and they take care of you. That's why he's a pro. Charlie, when the final out was recorded, who's the first person you thought of, whether it be your own family, someone in the Dodgers family? World Series have us connecting with memories like really no other sporting event. What's the first thing that went through your mind?
Well, after I got through the call, one of the things you don't want to do is think too much in the middle of a call. Like Yogi said, you can't think and hit at the same time. But when it was all over, and I don't know if I've mentioned this story to you or not, I grew up in New York. I was a Brooklyn Dodger fan when I was 5, 6, 7 years old. I would listen to Vin on the radio, and then I'd go downstairs, an old black and white RCA Victor television. I would turn the sound down, and I would announce Dodger games. My parents, very supportive, would say, please shut up, we beg you. In spite of that, I went forward on this wonderful, serendipitous career. And so I began announcing Brooklyn Dodger games in my parents' basement in the mid to late 50s, the mid-50s. And I end up calling the World Series from my living room 65 years later, whatever it was. Yeah, 65 years. And calling the Dodgers winning the World Series from my living room. Not because I necessarily wanted to be there, but thankfully the Dodgers, when I said I don't feel comfortable going out in this stuff this year, prepared essentially a home studio for me. And so when it was all over, it was one of those moments that, you know, child is father to the man. And
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!